Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from current research data, the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Distance Education Program, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Holly on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Now, here is Corey Holly and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, August 2004. Last month I reviewed the topic of sports injuries, describing the most common forms observed in athletics. I detailed some of their main causes and suggested that many injuries, both in the gym and on the field, are linked to poor nutrition, poor exercise technique, and simple dehydration. In this segment of clinical review, I'd like to discuss inflammation and pain and examine some effective natural biological remedies for sports injuries. In medical circles, inflammation is described as a fundamental pathological process consisting of a dynamic complex of cytological and chemical reactions that occur in the affected blood vessels and adjacent tissues in response to an injury or abnormal stimulation caused by a physical, chemical, or biological agent, and includes the reactions and resulting morphological changes, the destruction or removal of the injurious material, and the responses that lead to repair and healing. The cardinal signs of inflammation include redness, heat, swelling, pain, and loss of function. Acute inflammation has a fairly rapid onset and becomes severe relatively quickly. Symptoms usually manifest for only a few days, but may persist for as long as 1 to 3 weeks. Chronic inflammation may begin with a relatively rapid onset or a slow, insidious, and even unnoticed manner. It can persist for several weeks, months, and even years, and often has an indefinite termination. Chronic inflammation results when the cause of the inflammation continues to persist and the host lacks the biological and immunological resources to overcome the offensive nature of the injuring agent. Inflammation is a protective, nonspecific, and inherently necessary biological defense mechanism, especially in sports injuries, where the cause is less often associated with defective immune function, age-related decline of immune response, autoimmune disorders, and disease conditions such as arthritis, bronchitis, or dermatitis. Inflammation is often painful, and thus it is tempting to use drugs that provide immediate relief. However, the inflammation process is a critical step and sets the stage for repair and restoration. Within the body, three major substances instigate the process of inflammation. The first is platelet activating factor. The second are leukotrienes produced from arachidonic acid. And three, prostaglandin D2 or PGD2 produced from, again, arachidonic acid. Within reason, pain can be controlled via several alternative strategies other than or in conjunction with conventional drug therapy, such as ice, hydrotherapy, and massage. In most common sports injuries that invoke an inflammatory response, the process of healing goes something like this. Damaged tissues release chemicals, including neurotransmitters, hormones, complement proteins, and interferon, causing nearby blood vessels to dilate and become more permeable. Dilation of blood vessels increases blood flow to the damaged site, causing redness and elevated temperature. Increased blood vessel permeability allows fluid and phagocytic white blood cells, such as lymphocytes, neutrophils, and macrophage, to infiltrate surrounding tissue spaces. Phagocytic cells engulf invading bacteria and debris from damaged cells. Fluid volume increases to dilute toxins and cleanse the area, which leads to swelling. This swelling puts added pressure on the nerves, causing pain. Fluid also delivers clotting proteins to build clots, which protect against blood loss and further invasion by toxins and bacteria. The pain should be temporary and subside, provided the body has the resources it needs to do the job. Now let's look at pain. What exactly is pain? Pain is a function of degree and individual tolerance. It is distinguished by what is interpreted subjectively as unpleasant and at times very strong bodily sensations that attempt to warn against damage or signify that damage has occurred. Some people can obviously tolerate a high degree of physical pain. Others cannot. Some will avoid the pleasure or thrill of an experience entirely based on the perception or fear that the experience may cause physical damage and consequent pain. Pain is something most people want to avoid, and the desire to avoid pain is usually greater than the desire to fulfill or gain pleasure. Pain is conveyed by specific nerve fibers to the brain, where its conscious appreciation can be modified by a wide variety of factors. Pain is relative and difficult to measure because it is a subjective personal experience. For example, if two people are severely injured in the same manner, there is no medical instrument that can determine who has suffered the most pain and to what degree. We can see the symptoms and measure the damage, but who can say who suffers the most? Pain should be viewed as a protective symptom or sensation that warns against continued action or use until the source of damage or healing process is well underway. It is something to investigate, manage, and respect. Substance P is part of the body's neurotransmitter system and belongs to a family of three related peptides known as neurokinins. It is found in sensory organs, spinal cord pathways, and parts of the brain associated with pain transmission. When released by neurons, substance P transmits pain-related input from pain receptors to the central nervous system. Defined as a neuropeptide consisting of 11 amino acids, substance P has been extensively studied by scientists and appears to play a key role in the regulation of emotions associated with pain. In terms of physiology, substance P also influences smooth muscle contraction, inflammation, neurotransmission, blood vessel dilation, histamine release, and activation of the immune system. Enkephalins are known to suppress the release of substance P, the effect of which is known to decrease the subjective experience of pain. The analgesic effects of acupuncture are associated in part with the increased release of enkephalins, which act as natural pain killers. It's always preferable to combine the strengths of a wide variety of professional and complementary healthcare methods. Here's where massage therapy, chiropractic care, homeopathy, whole foods, acupuncture, specialized dietary supplements, and supporting physical exercise designed to strengthen connective tissue, ligaments, and the entire core region can be of enormous value. Massage is a natural and instinctive response to soreness, pain, and debility. Through stroking, pressure, and kneading, massage relaxes, stimulates, and tones the body, affecting the musculoskeletal system, the circulation, and the meridians or energy channels. Chiropractic is aimed at treating mechanical disorders of the joints with special regard to the spinal vertebrae. Convinced that the basis of disease was in the spine, David Palmer, father of chiropractic, originated the theory that subluxed or displaced vertebrae restricted the spinal nerves, interfering with the flow of nervous energy through the body. People suffering from lumbago, neuralgia, strains, slipped disc, and back pain in general often respond well to this form of treatment. Chiropractors often identify a connection between pain and neuralgia and problems with the sacroiliac joint as well as the lower lumbar spine. Homeopathy is based on the principle of curing like with like, or the law of similars. It relies on a unique system of diagnosis and treatment to arouse the immune system. The law of similars states that a remedy can cure disease if it produces symptoms very similar to those of the disease in a healthy person. The task of the homeopath is to find the remedy whose action on the body is most similar to the patient's conditions. Whole foods are complete foods derived from nature without fractionation, refinement, or processing of any kind. Yams from the ground to your plate with the skin, or fruit from the vine to your hand, are good examples. Refined foods lose valuable nutrients necessary for building healthy and disease-resistant cells. You are what you eat, digest, absorb, assimilate, and what you don't eliminate. Acupuncture has been subjected to close scientific scrutiny. As a recognized legitimate branch of medicine, acupuncture has been proven to influence the levels of chemicals in the blood, including the white blood cell count. Most injuries induced through training arise as a result of poor technique, incomplete warm-up, high-intensity workouts without appropriate progressive adaptation, and faulty or insufficient nutrition. If the discs in the spine are giving way to an unscheduled process of erosion, your best bet is to feed them indirectly through improved hydration, diet, and supplements. This augments the natural rebuilding process combined with the skill and precision of a qualified and competent healthcare professional. Sports medical physicians frequently prescribe non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, to injured athletes. They are called non-steroidal to distinguish them from corticosteroid drugs. NSAIDs block the production of prostaglandins. This is how they reduce pain and inflammation. The problem is, like many other drugs, they are non-specific. In this case, they block the production of all prostaglandins, including series 3 prostaglandins, that are essential to the natural healing process. This is why they can impair normal blood clotting and are, therefore, prescribed with caution for people with bleeding disorders or who are taking drugs that reduce blood clotting. There is also a wide range of nutritional supplements that are just as effective as NSAIDs without side effects. Glucosamine, which the body synthesizes from glucose and glutamine, works to maintain, build, and regenerate tendons, ligaments, discs, and cartilage. Glucosamine is an amino monosaccharide or amino sugar, and as such is a principal substrate for glycosaminoglycan and proteoglycan synthesis. Increasing the supply of glucosamine through oral administration helps favor the rate of cartilage production against degradation. Although not classified specifically as an anti-inflammatory agent, in clinical studies, glucosamine does exhibit pain relief and reduces symptoms equal to or better than standard NSAID treatment. Cartilage tears and ruptured joint membranes inhibit the formation of glucosamine, thus taking the supplement in relatively high doses overcomes this limitation. In addition, although NSAIDs may provide some symptom relief, they do not reinforce the process of cartilage regeneration or mending, and with long-term use actually degrade collagen. For treating cartilage-related damage, such as the medial meniscus of the knee or one of the vertebral discs, using the glucosamine sulfate form of glucosamine, I would recommend a 10-day loading phase with as much as 100 milligrams per kilo of body weight. After 10 days, cut this dose in half for 10 more days, and then consume half of this amount, or about 25 milligrams per kilo of body weight, until the injury subsides. 1 or 2 grams a day is probably sufficient as a maintenance dose. I take about 2 or 3 grams per day on a regular basis, and won't hesitate to double or triple the dose if I suspect or encounter any problems in the shoulder, lower back, knees, ankles, hips, elbows, or wrist joints. Bromelain and protease are excellent natural anti-inflammatories. When taken on an empty stomach, bromelain blocks the action of chemicals which aggravate swelling and cause pain. Protease helps to clear the toxins which accumulate when cells and capillaries suffer damage through trauma or surgery. Enzyme therapy diminishes pain, reduces the duration of inflammation, and heals wounds faster with less scar formation. Curcumin longa, derived from turmeric, also possesses anti-inflammatory properties. Curcumin combats a variety of oxygen radical species and inhibits the formation of leukotrienes. It helps to stabilize cell membranes damaged through injury and prevent the excessive release of inflammatory mediators. Recommended dosage is around 400 to 600 milligrams three times a day. Many anti-inflammatory formulas are available that combine curcumin with glutamine, protease, papain, bromelain, garlic extract, feverfew, shark cartilage, sea cucumber, chondroitin sulfate, EFAs, green lip mussel, devil's claw, yucca, selenium, licorice, cayenne, etc. The list goes on. Active non-denatured garlic extract is another excellent remedy for treating the pain and inflammation associated with sports injury. Garlic contains many sulfur compounds that exhibit anti-inflammatory effects, including allicin, dialy disulfide, and dialy trisulfide. Other active pharmacological agents in garlic include allein, ajoin, trace minerals including selenium and germanium, S-methylcysteine sulfoxide, several amino acids, and many unique enzymes. Garlic features antimicrobial, antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral properties, and exerts significant immune-enhancing effects when used in high doses. Instead of antioxidants, enzymes, EFAs, or even a good garlic extract, some athletes have developed the habit of taking acetaminophen or salicylic acid both before and after workouts to minimize muscle soreness and stiffness. These over-the-counter drugs are known to cause detrimental side effects long-term, including ulceration and liver problems. Many pain-relieving drugs can cause bleeding of the delicate membranes that line the stomach and severely deplete vitamin C levels in the body. It is generally accepted that the use of pain relievers over long periods of time depresses the immune system and aids in the degeneration of internal organs. Back in 1990, the U.S. Federal Drug Administration reported over 200,000 cases a year of severe gastrointestinal bleeding from the use of these agents and other anti-inflammatory drugs. To add insult to injury, drugs are then prescribed to counteract the stomach bleeding and severe gastrointestinal toxicity caused by the drugs in the first place. My advice is to lean on nature's pharmacy first. She is definitely less toxic and far more forgiving. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from Dr. Michael Colgan, author of the Sports Nutrition Guide. Design your diet and lifestyle so that you avoid, expel, or neutralize all chemicals invented by man.